Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
All right, welcome back, friends. We are super excited today to be joined by some good friends who live here in our city, Cheryl and Matt, and they have some pretty unique perspective that we wanted to offer you all the opportunity to hear about and to hear from. Just as the Lord has called them here and is using them in mighty ways, both to reach out to people through the gospel, through church planting, and also healing people's hearts through counseling and just getting to know people. So excited to have Cheryl and Matt with us. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Thanks for having us, guys. Cheryl is a marriage and family therapist. Been doing that for over 15 years, including trauma therapy, and practices that here in South Asia, along with her awesome kids and the ministry that you all do through your church that you've planted. Really a heart for the lost, reaching a lot of lost people, which we just rejoice in so much. And we hear that you guys have pretty competitive game nights at your house that we're hoping to get invited to one day. Yes. And Matt, pastoring the church here. Yeah. What else would you all add for our listeners to get to know you a bit better?
Yeah, so I grew up in another part of the country and moved to the U.S. Cheryl and I had an arranged marriage, you know, so Jesus helped me. I got the best end of the deal. And, so lived in Oklahoma City for about a good 17 years. And then God called us to move here and plant a church. And so a few years ago, we came here and God has been faithful to that calling.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And I was raised in the U.S. All my life. I moved there when I was 5 years old and 4 or 5 years old. And and then we felt, like Matt had said, we moved here. We felt God calling us a couple years ago, and we really felt the need for more gospel-centered churches over here, and we really desire to see, to know, and to point people back to Jesus over here. And so we were always passionate about sending people, but we felt God really asking us to go. So grateful that we get to be here with our family.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Y'all, I think y'all can hear just in their introductions the unique perspective, I think, that y'all bring to bear on the topic of missions and church planting, and even beyond that, I think, like, worldview and crossing cultures, because not only grew up in India, Matt, and then moved to the States, ministered in the States for a long time, and then moved back to plant a church. That's pretty unique.
Yeah.
And then to think about not only planting a church, but also even through therapy and through counseling, the way that you're ministering to people's hearts and hearing about the issues that are going on here. Man, just so much to learn from your experience. So that's why we're excited to hear from y'all, and excited for our listeners to hear from y'all as well.
All right. Anytime I talk to you all, my ears are always like really attentive because you have so much wisdom. So we're excited to get to learn from you. We feel like you guys, as Jesse said, in a pretty unique way, can understand South Asian culture and American culture. Mm-hmm. Most of our listeners are Americans who are preparing to serve overseas or already serving overseas, definitely not all in South Asia. But you've had a lot of experience with cross-cultural ministry and understanding different cultures. So what mistakes have you seen Westerners make in terms of coming to South Asia, building relationships with South Asians, and understanding the culture here? We're starting off like really giving you a hard question.
No, that's totally fine. So before we moved here, I reached out to a lot of my friends here, the local pastors and the wives and people that we know that live here. And I asked them, I drilled them with just a bunch of questions. And one of the best advice that they had given me was, come here as a learner, you know, and don't come with there's obviously passion and excitement to be serving the Lord. But sometimes we had to sit back and see, observe the city, study the city, understand the people, the culture, working with the local church, because we have a high view. We love planting. We love church planting. And just to even get to know and be familiar with the culture of the city, take some time, you know, and don't be in a rush to just be jumping all in, but observe, learn a lot. So that was a really good advice for me personally. And I think I have not interacted with a lot of people who have moved cross-culturally. But what I've been told that has been helpful for is if people coming from the outside, I wouldn't look at like any mistake necessarily. I wouldn't look at it as a mistake because everybody's way of doing things is just different. You know, it's more like be open to working with the church in a way that they understand the leadership and the vision of the church. I wouldn't say it's a mistake necessarily. It's more of being open to just sitting down with like the pastor or the leaders of the church and saying, how do you guys do things? What is, how can we help? What can we do? And just brainstorm, dream together.
Yeah, I would say that cross-cultural ministry, look everywhere, is hard. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what the migration pattern is. It's hard if somebody goes from here. And as someone who has actually gone from this part of the world to the U.S. and lived there and ministered there for over a decade and a half, you know, it's hard. Mm. You know, and I think that's because human beings are not in, we don't live and understand in vacuum. Culture is not just something external to us. Like, we live in culture, we're influenced by culture. It's like the old story of the two fishes in the water, and the older fish asking the younger fish, how do you like the water? And the younger fish responded back and saying, what water?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. I think that kind of gives a picture of. So I think that I wouldn't, like what Cheryl was saying, that I would reframe it as not necessarily a mistake, but a posture. Mm-hmm. What posture would be helpful to adopt, you know, when you move from one culture to another culture? Mm-hmm. I think a posture of learning is great. We actually do a really good job working hard and contextualizing the gospel. But I think that contextualizing towards culture, because even the gospel is not communicated in vacuum. You know, so I think a huge part of communication is not just, you know, like communicating what you want to communicate, but it's also understanding, you know. And so if understanding is the goal of communication, then you have to be mindful of where am I, what room am I in, who am I talking to, and what time it is, you know. And so those questions are helpful to gauge, because look, nobody is an expert in culture. You know, like, I mean, I was born and raised in this culture, then I had to step out of here, come back here, and relearn a whole bunch of things, you know. So, and then I think that it'll be helpful to think about it in terms of growth and maturation, and not just in terms of like, did I make a mistake, or, you know, because then we would not be as motivated. There'll be a lot more pressure, you know. So this is a journey. The Holy Spirit is going to bring us. If He's sending us cross-culturally, He's going to teach us, you know, through that process. But I think adopting the posture of a learner is helpful. And then I think the last thing that I would add to it is, I think it's really important to get to know your city.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's really important to know, what are the pain points of your city? What are the longings of your city? What are the frustrations of the city? You know, so this will really help us to see, how does the gospel speak uniquely? Because the gospel is, in that sense, it is super cultural. And so how are ways in which the gospel speaks to the longings of the city? How are ways? And so that takes time. You will make mistakes, you know, and you will learn in that process.
Yeah, I think one other thing, I can tell you the mistakes I've made, even just coming here, was don't assume that you just know. I look like everyone, you know, but there's an assumption where I even cared. We're like, oh, I should know this. Or I think one of the things that I had to learn is be open to asking questions. Like, why do you guys do it that way? What do you mean by that? I ask a lot of questions for me to learn. And I've actually, the first year of being here, I actually spent a lot more time just writing down questions, everything that I was curious about. Like, what would I, why do people do it that way? You know, why is that holiday celebrated? You know, everything that I could think of, I was just curious. So I would say pray and ask the Lord, even just for curiosity, and not to be, and be very open to asking questions, you know, to understand better. That's something I wish I had done, but I made a lot of mistakes along the way. I found myself getting annoyed a lot because I look like everyone, you know, but I don't know a lot, you know, so I'm like, and there's some things that was told to me that I'm like, but I already knew that, like, you know, but like, why would you tell me that? But they don't know that, you know, so I, you know, so it was a little bunch of little things that I just had to mature in. I'm still learning to mature in.
There's so much good stuff there. Even for us, we lived in South Asia 12 years before we moved to this city. And moving from where we previously lived here was a huge adjustment. Way more than I expected. Just this urban culture is so different that I feel like maybe we'll start understanding it at some point.
Yeah.
But still trying.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super validating as well to hear that you get frustrated.
Yeah.
Because we definitely get frustrated. Mm. You know, we just did an episode
on culture stress.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just to recognize that culture is not, it's what you're used to,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the fact that you were raised in the States, then you moved over here, even though you look like everybody else and a lot of people are assuming that you have it all figured out, you know, you're actually experiencing more like we are.
Yeah.
Because you're coming from the States, you're an American, right? And stepping into this. Mm-hmm. And so just to recognize that cultures are just what we're used to.
Yeah.
And so whenever we're confronted with things that we're not used to,
yeah.
there's a tendency to misunderstand and then get frustrated by the lack of understanding, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And here is what is interesting about even that. Culture is not static, it's a continuum, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so even in the last 5 years, people in the city, they're actually experiencing layering of, you know, like mm-hmm. every couple of, for example, in the demographic that we reach, every couple of months, it's helpful for us to survey. Mm. Like we send out surveys
wow.
just to know that, hey, what are we? Are we answering the question that nobody's asking?
Yeah.
Or are right. we really speaking to, you know, the especially intergenerationally, things are changing so mm-hmm. much. So it's all nuanced. And sure. so I think that if we, as long as you can adopt the posture of a learner and say, you know, I want to learn, grow in this process, and I want to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what yeah. I would say.
And it seems like the pace of that change is always accelerating.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Right. And it's just so hard to keep up mm-hmm. sometimes. Right. And even like you said, cross-generationally, you could do those surveys, but if you jump every 10 years in age, then you're going to get different answers across that as well. And even the pace of change on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep up with.
It mm-hmm. is, yeah.
So maybe on that note, how do you keep from, with a concern for contextualization, how do you keep from finger in the wind ministry?
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep from falling into that of like, hey, let's test the waters and test the wind, see which way the wind's blowing, and we're going to adapt and kind of follow that course of that line of thought or adjust our ministry or what we're addressing to that? As opposed to like, hey, these are the foundational principles, biblical principles that we're speaking into the culture, regardless of sort of what the questions are that they're asking. How do you balance those two? Is that a tension? Or if not, how do you all navigate that in ministry?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what is super helpful is for us, gospel centrality is what helps. It's the hub in the wheel.
Yeah.
And so everything flows out of it. And so because the gospel touches all aspects of culture and all aspects of ministry, contextualization becomes a little bit more clearer because you do have a framework. You're not reinventing the wheel, but you're simply talking about how does the age-old gospel, the call of the church is to be faithful with what has been handed to you.
Mm.
And so how would the age-old gospel speak to the longings and the frustrations and the grief and the joy of the city and the people that you're serving?
That's good. We've talked about contextualization before as looking at the word of God. And contextualization is almost just like picking the proper piece of the word that applies to whatever particular question the culture is asking at that point in time. And so in that sense, it's just applying the gospel, applying the word of God rightly to whatever the particular need of that culture and the question they're asking is or whatever it is, or even that person, you know, because that can change on a person-to-person basis. So proper contextualization is knowing the word of God enough to be able to apply it in the right situation and in the right way with the right person.
Yeah. See, what is really interesting about what you just said is that exegetically speaking, you're already contextualizing because the word of God was not written to us.
Mm.
It is written to an original context.
Mm.
It is written to an original audience. So anytime we, in 2024, no matter where you are in the world, when you stand up and read the word of God and preaching, you have to do the work of contextualization.
Mm.
So in that sense, it's humbling for me to think that, okay, I am with the help of the Holy Spirit, helping interpret this passage rightly.
Mm.
And in doing so, there is already a layer of contextualization at work.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
We're all reading the Bible through our own lens.
That's right.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier the story about the fish. I was just reminding my kids, a lot of times visitors will come, or when we're back in the States, people ask, well, how do you like growing up in India? And it's like, they were born and brought up here. They don't know anything else than growing up in India, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So counseling and therapy, such a big part of your life, Cheryl, and that's your profession and also comes into ministry a lot as well, right? As you're caring for people. In America, we know has become such a popular topic, much more normal. It's been more normalized a lot, I think, and a lot of Christians see value in getting some counseling skills. It feels a bit different in South Asia, right? How have you seen that be viewed differently in South Asia?
Mm-hmm.
And what tips could you give to listeners when it comes to counseling cross-culturally? Yeah. Because the longer we've been on the field, the more I have desired
mm-hmm.
counseling skills. The more I've seen the value of it, the more I've seen how discipleship is holistic
mm-hmm.
and a lot of our believers
mm-hmm.
do have wounds in their heart and mm-hmm. sometimes things they've never talked about.
Yeah.
And so I've had a desire to grow in that.
Mm, that's awesome.
What would you have to share about that?
Yeah. So one of the main differences between counseling here and back in the US is over here, when I have someone come in for counseling, they want a quick fix. Mm. They're not wanting the work of processing, going back, discovering, identifying where the core issue is coming up, what lies are they believing, like trying to get to the root of it. And I'm often asked, this is what I'm going through. Now, what do I do about it? That's the first thing I get asked. I'm like, oh, I don't have like a magic answer for that. We have to go back, you know? So like it requires a little more patience for people who want to do any type of counseling here. So I would say definitely patience. Don't be afraid to go back. You know, you'll be keep pushed to the front saying, okay, I already know all that. So a lot of people will say, I already knew about that. Oh, I already dealt with that already. No, but you may have dealt with it, but you need to bring me into that story so I can help you understand where it's coming from now, you know? So
mm-hmm.
kind of going backwards a little bit. I think in the West, the good thing is that they know the process a little bit more. It requires, some people aren't there before many, many years, and that's great and that's fine, you know? But one thing I do have, my view of counseling has changed ever since I moved here. I really believe as believers, we all are called to counsel. We all have the beautiful gift to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. And so we have this unique gifting to be able to speak into someone's life when we are attuned to what the Lord is telling us about that individual. So I don't think that referring someone out to a professional counselor, and I put that in quotes, sorry, you know, is always necessary. You know, it's about discipleship. Counseling, I've always just felt it's a professional word for discipleship, you know? Yeah, I think discipleship is beautiful because the root of it, we all are talking about our stuff. Let's talk, it's sin or like some type of struggle. And we all need Jesus to clean that up and heal that area. So that is what's beautiful about the field. Yeah, I love it because I get to point people back to Jesus. It's actually so much easier for me to do faith-based counseling here for believers because it's all about surrendering, confessing, repenting, you know, all those things to Jesus and to kind of get to take the seat back a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's one. And with non-believers, it's a little more challenging because it is so layered in generational, you know, understanding of
joint family.
There's so many layers of like understanding how that generation did it. Mm. And there's so many people groups here where I'm like, the certain part of the what I'm familiar with may not be what another people group may be doing. So to really be familiar with the people group that you're working with, also to understand their culture, their family structure, their family system to help them. So it's a little bit harder for me with non-believers. Mm. Christians, it's wonderful. I can point people back to Jesus. So just to let them grow deeper with the Lord. I love it.
I think, you know, from a church perspective, when we think about care at the church, there's a triage that we look through. I think there's wisdom in acknowledging your boundaries, your limitations, and there's a space for special kind of care to come.
Yeah.
That's when we would actually tap help in. But it should always be with the perspective that you want to fold community in.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because with the goal of bringing people back into community.
Yeah.
Because we're called to grow and thrive and be shaped and formed in the local church, you know. So it's a little challenging because there's a developing field, if I may say. Mm. You know, there's a social stigmas attached to,
sure,
in a collectivist culture, there's social stigmas attached to counseling.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The challenge of a collectivist culture is that sometimes there's an assumption of community without a depth of community.
Yeah.
Because gospel community brings with it a unique kind of depth. So it gets a little tricky, you know. And so, and then with, you know, the previous question that we were talking about with culture, I mean, think about all the layerings that is in, you know, you're talking with a wounded heart, you're talking with the healing of, you know, so.
And anyone that is interested in ever moving overseas, I definitely recommend taking some kind of course or something in counseling. I think it is just helpful, you know, because it's not just about, you know, giving good advice, you know, it's really hearing what the Lord has to say about that person, because there's something different about when you're moving cross-culturally, when you are a good listener, you become friends with that person. That person is drawn to you when you're a good listener. So developing that skill of being mastering the art of listening is such a sweet gift, you know? So asking people to grow in that, what does that look like? Yeah, and to train people in that.
Yeah,
a good way.
I was noticing those listening to the Holy Spirit and being a good listener, asking questions. Just those two being really so simple that we almost dismiss them. I took a course online last summer. I think it was through the American Association of Christian Counselors. It was simple, but it just gave me some handles and a little bit of basics to feel a little more equipped. And the way that they worded it was similar to what you said, Matt, like the church should be kind of the first responders when people have needs, emotional needs. Like we should be the first responders, caring for them, providing support. And yes, we have to know when it's way beyond what we can handle and refer them to get the help they need. But many times people need care, support, good listening, community, and just what an essential piece that is.
And one of the things I think, especially as it relates to cross-cultural workers, I think one of the integral pieces in this is that being aware of how God is working in your own story. I think that's a huge part. Like, I mean, have you listened to your own story? If you're not aware of how God is working in your own story, it is hard to step into somebody else's story and counsel.
It is. And that was part of me wanting to take this course, was I think I started doing that about 5 years ago.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And it did. It's when you experience the Lord healing you, reframing your story, seeing all the ways God is using it in your life, it does somehow just open up your heart to want to help others and be a better listener. And I think there's a lot of people who have parts of their story they've never even said out loud. And sometimes when they sense that you're really safe and patient and you're not going anywhere, that'll start to come out. And that's happened to me here.
That's awesome.
I feel like people who grow up in lower class communities, a lot of people have really hard stuff in their background. That it's treated like normal.
It's normalized,
and they've never even talked about it.
I think it's such an insightful point you made earlier, Matt, about a collectivist culture or a communal culture that has like a veneer of connection and relationship. I mean, in many ways, South Asian families are much tighter than American in terms of how they spend time together. I mean, they're always around each other. There's joint families. You're with your broader family. And so from the outside, it looks like, oh, wow, there is a depth of relationship there that's far beyond what we see in the States. Yet if you peel in a little bit, it's just kind of like, well, they're not actually known in a lot of cases. They spend a lot of time together. They're talking and communicating, but they're not really knowing each other at the depth that we're talking about in terms of what's going on in their hearts, those types of things. So once you begin to become a trusted listener and people start peeling back those layers, man, there is a lot under there. And I think what we can offer through being good listeners and even this kind of counseling, it really is, it ministers to people in a unique way. So many testimonies we've heard, even from people from like well-to-do backgrounds here in the city. That just feel like when they encountered Christ, it was like the first time in their life that somebody saw them. That somebody really knew them. And that's such a powerful, a powerful part of the gospel, is that you're seen and known by the Savior who loves you.
Yes.
It's a huge thing.
And, you know, as Shani pointed out earlier, when we think about the invitation of the gospel to people, I think sometimes we think about only in terms of sin and repentance. But if you look at the gospel invitation, for those who are wounded, the invitation is healing. It's not necessarily repentance. For sin, yes, it is repentance. And for brokenness, it is actually to experience the strength of the Savior working through community.
Mm.
So those are three different, you know, invitations to people. Mm. And so when you are aware of those invitations in your own story, just incarnating that into community is, we have seen that to be such a powerful community builder.
And, and one of the rules or tips that I have for myself, not tip, that's not the right word, but goal for myself is like anytime I'm meeting someone new, I go in there with the intent to learn three new things about them, you know? So I make it like I have to know something, three new things about them. So they have to see that I'm interested in their life, you know? So when I walk away, I'm like, okay, I learned these three new things. Next time, I learn another new three things, you know? So that helps me to know that I'm also not being in La La Land when I'm talking to them, but I'm actually focused in and actually being intentional with the person.
Fully engaged.
Fully engaged.
That's not just showing up and your mind is somewhere else,
That's
which sometimes happens.
Yeah, for sure.
That is the imago Dei, right? Here is a person made in the image of God.
Yeah.
They are an embodied human being.
Mm.
They have a story worth hearing.
Yeah.
They are a person worth knowing.
Mm.
You know, so that in itself will counterculturally contextualize, you know, to where we are.
Yeah.
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 So as a family therapist, I know you have a heart for TCKs.
Mm-hmm.
You have great resources for parents on how we can help our TCKs understand their own hearts and the adjustments and transitions in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, we've been on the field 19 years and compared to when we first came on the field, it seems like having healthy families has become much more talked about, like much more of a priority, which I'm really thankful for.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of our coworkers are really aware of that and working hard at that.
Mm-hmm.
But what word of encouragement would you have for families, parents in that area?
Man, always remember your family is your number one ministry, you know, is the people that your children are your primary focus. Everybody else is secondary. I think that's one. And the other thing is, just like how you would meet with anyone else, be very interested in your kid's life. You know, it seems so practical, but like even learning new things about your kids, you should not be surprised that they're going through something. There's something you're doing wrong if you don't know what's going on. Who do they have a crush on? Who do they, you know, like what sports are they playing? Who are their friends? What's going on in their friends' lives? Like you should know all these things, you know? And so be very, very much involved in the kid's life. And just, it's sometimes just a conversation. Kids are not afraid to answer some of these. We just don't ask them, you know?
Yeah.
So, but they really do open up when we do take time to ask them and spend time with them.
How do you protect margin for that?
Man, that's so hard because I'm so easily distracted with all the things I need. I'm a very task-oriented kind of person, like with things I have a list of stuff I want to get done. And I always tell myself where, like, once I get this done, then I'll sit down with them and talk. And I hate that about myself. I hate that I do that. And I recognize that. And as soon as I say that, those I recognize it now, we're like, no, that's not important. Put that down. Put the phone down or pay attention to them. I'm still growing in that. I have not mastered in any way. I don't know if I'll ever master, but I'm growing in that. But I really ask the Lord to help me with that. I ask God to help me to be more attuned to my children's needs. Like, and it's I've even prayed, like, it's all, God, give me eyes in the back of my head. Like, I know what's happening, even when I'm not even seeing it, you know? Help me to be very, very aware of what's happening with them. Like, I want to be able to, like, when they walk in, I want to know what they're feeling. Like, I should know them that well.
Yeah.
And I prayed for that. And the Lord has met me through prayer with that, you know?
I listened to a really good podcast on the five needs of every child.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those was attunement.
Mm-hmm.
It was so helpful for me because it's more than knowing your child.
Yeah.
But it's like your child knowing that you are understanding and seeing how they're feeling and you care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just how powerful that is.
So true.
It is.
I have been, so our kids are on summer break and there are some days I'm like, I want to do something to spend time with my kids and I can't even think of anything to do because it's so hot.
Yes.
You can't think.
Like, I don't want to go outside.
It is so bad.
Well, do you have any resources that you would recommend, either yours or someone else's? Mm-hmm. Because I'm remembering that you had maybe a list of questions,
mm-hmm.
of good questions to just kind of get your kids talking.
I usually just ask them random questions, you know. And I actually, before we moved here too, I had actually made a journal for the kids. And to get them prepared for it, there was like 30, 40 questions on there. And I made them journal everything that they were like, even just things to look up, things to look forward to. And at the bottom, I even asked them to write out a prayer about that. Yeah, like I asked them, how many friends do you want to meet when you get here? And the cool thing is God has actually met them in that. And so they actually went back and read some of them, which is 5 years ago. And they're like, oh, wow, that actually happened. Or like, it's been really cool to see that, you know. So I love coming up with questions and just brainstorm. Just what am I curious about them right now? And I just ask. Yeah, and my kids are not shy. You guys have known them. Yeah, so they're really just open.
They are full of life.
Yes, and they're very open. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How about for you, Matt?
You know, one of the things that I have learned is that, so when we moved here, our oldest was 12, and he's 16 now. So a lot has happened, you know, in those four ages that are so formative, you know, 4 years. I have realized that pace of the city is such a way that if you don't have a plan, the city will have a wonderful plan for your life.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I think that you very rarely will you find this time. Mm. You know, you'll have to make time. And so saying yes to something would be saying no to something else.
Yeah.
And so there is that priority. And I think it's helpful to fold our kids into that as well.
Mm.
So if they always feel like they're the ones being sacrificed.
Yeah.
You know, then that's not helpful,
yeah.
You know. And so, but then there are times where they see that, okay, dad has said no to something so that I can be with, you know. And so they
feel. Gotta make sure they know that. Get all the points for it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So that is helpful, you know. And our boys are so different. The oldest one is like a side-by-side conversation guy.
Mm.
So if I need to get to his heart, I need to be doing something with him. He's not a face-to-face guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our middle one is a face-to-face guy. Mm. And for him, like side-by-side means that I'm not paying attention to him.
Mm.
And so it took a long time before I figured that out. And so once I figured that out, I'm like, okay, they listen differently. And so, and they're constantly changing, you know. So those are some things that I have picked up, you know, in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good. I feel like it's usually just the basics, but it's just being consistent.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's not this magic answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just... re-emphasizing those efforts.
Yeah. It's challenging.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even even today, my oldest will even say, man, I really miss America. Like, and then instead of, like, my tendency is to say, but it's, you know, it's okay. We're here. Like, you know, like, we're calling, you know, like, to kind of dismiss that.
Yeah.
And I've learned to, like, what do you miss?
Mm-hmm.
What do you miss the most?
Yep.
Burgers, my cousins, you know, like, things like that is what they say, you know.
To let them.
Yeah, let them grieve. And it's okay. Yeah,
that's right.
And even living here, one of the things that Matt and I have grown to do is just even to be more open with them on what the brokenness that we're hearing.
Yeah.
We're not sheltering them from hearing, like, this is mom and dad's ministry. Mm. This is our family thing. So we share with them, man, we had a hard day with we don't share names or anything, but we kind of share, this is what's going on. So they know the reality of what we do and also what we get to do. And they also are observing how we are also, you know, how we respond to these things, you know? So we lead with, like, excitement with the Lord, trusting the Lord and things like that. Hope that helps.
I feel like your kids are very good conversationalists. Mm-hmm. So I think you guys are learning from you.
Yeah.
We talk about our feelings a lot.
That's awesome. That's huge. I think that you've been through those times when our kids have gone through the same thing, whether that was when we were on a trip back to the States or here, of openly grieving and even saying, like, man, we want to go live in the U.S.
Mm.
You know, it's so hard here. It's so great over there. And tears that come in the midst of that as well. And us just seeing the value of, we just needed to let them talk it out.
Yeah.
And we got to the other side of it. Mm. Right? Those things may come again.
Yeah.
But we didn't, even though we might have been tempted to, we didn't say, well, think of all the great things we have.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that would be our tendency, is just try to talk them out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
But we just need to let them say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we're honest, we all feel that way every once in a while.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We just have some filters that we don't always let that come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? That's so true.
Yeah. That's right. That's so right.
They feel heard when we just all have to say what they have to say. So that's true.
Yeah.
Any last word of encouragement?
Hey, if God has called you cross-culturally, man, it's definitely an adventure.
Mm.
It is, you know, he's leading you. You know, so that's what we've seen. In spite of all the things that we've done wrong, in spite of all the ways that we've thought we botched it, Jesus is still building his church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in that process, he's holding our hearts,
yeah,
and we get to be a part of that. Okay. So it is definitely an exciting journey.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, you know, he's true to his promise, yeah, that he'll build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm.
So jump right in.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a job in a mega city to join a church plant, we know some people to talk to.
Yeah.
That's
right.
That's true.
I think just reminding them that following Jesus is worth it,
yeah,
you
yeah
know, and no matter what, whether you are excited or passionate and zealous about moving, and or whether you are just know this, your calling, God is doing something in you through
yeah
it all. Even if you have to go back, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, God yeah is yeah still, he doesn't waste anything,
mm-hmm,
you know, so all of it is for purpose. And we may not know exactly why it happened or what's going on or what's happening, but God is in control and he, mm-hmm, it's for your good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I feel like our conversation has reminded me that the Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor.
Amen.
And so he's the one who guides us in getting our own heart healing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, Cheryl, with great confidence that counseling is for every believer,
mm-hmm,
because we can hear the Holy Spirit.
That's
and
right.
God can use us in very special, powerful ways, mm-hmm, as we listen to him. And, you know, sometimes we're afraid to believe that,
mm-hmm,
or ask for that,
yeah,
as believers.
Yeah.
And he loves to respond to that,
mm-hmm,
right? I mean, he'll do that. Even
yeah
if there's listeners who don't feel like they've experienced that much,
mm-hmm,
start asking,
yeah,
right?
That's
just
right
ask him
yeah
for
exactly
more. Ask yeah him to speak to you.
Exactly.
And listen, whether it's for your own heart healing or for people around you,
mm-hmm,
just to ask
yeah
and listen and just see how he guides and speaks.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. And I think on the calling side, I'm just so encouraged by y'all's story of being from here. In Matt's case, right? Growing up here, going to the States, there's some who would look at that and be like, you made it, right? You got there, you got this awesome job at the church in the States.
Yeah.
But for y'all to just be faithful and say, Lord, whatever you want for our family.
Yeah.
And to listen to that call to come back to truly a difficult place. It is a, mm-hmm, it's a sacrifice to come and to live in the city, to start to plant a church, all the labor that's involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And man, just may that tribe increase.
Praise
of people that we see so many good folks flowing out of this city and out of this country.
Yeah.
And praise God for folks that come back and just mm-hmm listen to God's heart for this place and are ready to follow. So grateful for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So grateful for you guys.
Yeah. Guys too.
Thanks for being
19 years now.
Consistent encouragement to us.
Yeah.
And we get to see your labor.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm so grateful. We're going to see the fruit of your labor.
Yeah.
Sometimes we meet the fruit of your labor in different parts of the city. So grateful to the Lord for both of you and your family and how you
yeah
love the Lord and love this city. And man, that'll be a big party on the other side of all of this.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. We'll be ready for it.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
It's been awesome.
Thank you for having us.